But we really do enjoy doing what we do, and people must be liking it because they keep inviting us back. And, you know, the camaraderie of EAA, which everybody here knows about, you know, you run into your friends and sit down and discuss things, and it's just a hoot, and we're just proud to be a part of it.
So, gentlemen, how many times would you say you'd flown Oshkosh now?
I haven't really counted it up. I'd say we flew it as a North American aerobatic team a few times.
I think I've flown it either 15 or 16 times.
Yeah, probably that, I guess.
Yeah.
Also, there's a little bit of background with each of you and the gentlemen that aren't here yet that did a little bit of air show flying before the team was together as well, didn't you?
Well, I did. I started my first air show. I was 19. I was flying the very T6 I'm flying now. A little history behind that. My dad bought that. He and five buddies, the year I was born, actually the 59, I'm born in 60, but right at about that time. And it's the very one I'm flying with the team today, and he paid $1,200 for it. And I used to sit in it when I was in kindergarten, make airplane noises, remember the stick being up here, and I'm going to fly it one day. And I soloed as a junior in high school, and then I went to A&P school in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and I turned 19, and my dad had me flying the CAF, Confederate Air Force Air Shows. He had a course there, and my T-6 was paying like a German, and he used to shoot me down, and I'd die behind the trees, and they'd blow up dynamite, and people kept passing out, so the CAF quit doing that one. They said, I'm not going to do that anymore. So, but it was a hoot, and that's how I really got started flying air shows, and then got into aerobatics, and then got into solo aerobatics, and enjoyed that. But as these other T6 guys know, once you reach a certain level of solo aerobatics in a T6, once you get that, any more than that, you really start pushing it, and you can really hurt yourself. So it gets kind of monotonous, believe it or not. So what's the next level is doing aerobatics right next to somebody on their wing. And like Mark said earlier, that never gets old. Never, ever. So it's just a hoot. I'm enjoying it.
Mark, how about yourself? Tell us a little bit about your history and your background prior to Aeroshell.
Well, of course, you know, I grew up in a flying family. My dad started flying when we were about 5-6 years old, and he bought an airplane. And I guess from that point on, he always had at least one. At one point, I think we had a dozen at one time, various different airplanes. But I was fortunate enough early on. I mean, I was flying J3s and 140s, and you know, I got start in the tailwheel airplanes, and then we ended up we bought a Stearman project and finally got it going, and of course my dad actually bought a T6 in 73, paid the grand total of $5,000 for it, and it had new tires and a new battery in it. So we started. Anyway, I started flying that airplane in the early 80s, and it's actually the number two airplane right now. My brother kind of ended up with it, and we had a Stearman, and so I kind of took that possession of it, and you know, took care of it, and started air showing the Stearman around. After a while, it kind of got a little old. We'd all head to an air show, and it'd take 2 hours. It'd take me 2 days because it was so darn slow. I remember the first air show that I really felt like I went a long distance. I went from Alabama, went over to Petagene, Arkansas, which is just the other side of Little Rock. And we were going there for like a 3-day event. And when I got there, I was already windburned and sunburned and hadn't even started the air show. And I said, you know what I need to do? I need to get a T6 because those guys have been there. They've been down, and they're already at the hotel. I said, it was a whole lot. I said, you're not out in the wind and not out in the sun. I said, you know, one of these days I want a T6, and just so
how's John Moore do it, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how's John Moore?
He's the man. But I was fortunate enough. I was watching kind of, you know, how everybody does. They look and trade a plane and watch the prices of stuff. And anyway, in the mid-80s, all of a sudden T6s went from in the 20s and 30s. Next thing you know, they're in the 40s and in the 50s. And I'm thinking, man, if I don't buy one now, I'll never own one. And so I finally found found the airplane I've got now, and I bought it in the summer of 88. And it's been I think I paid $43,000 for it, and so that's just shows you what. Because now I think an average T6 is going to be $150,000-$160,000. So I think it was a pretty good investment. And actually, the story, I don't know if you see, it's on the nose of my airplane. It has Miss Tanner written on the nose. You know, everybody they put the name of the airplanes. Well, that was actually a kind of a deal I had with my wife, because I came home with that airplane about a month after my first child. We had our oldest as a daughter, and I came home with this airplane. Didn't quite tell her that I was going to buy it. I told her I was looking at one, but I didn't tell her I was going to buy it. I brought it home, and man, I got read the riot act. She said, "What are you doing buying an airplane when we need to be putting money away for college?" And I said, "Look, I got it covered." I said, "Tell you what I'll do. I'll make you a deal." I said, "If I can't pay for college when it comes time, then I said, I'll sell the airplane." And she's like, yeah. You know, I don't ever know y'all ever sell an airplane. So anyway, so I said, "Tell you what I'll do." I said, "I'll put her name on the cowling." I said, that shows you that we've got a contract. Well, anyway, my daughter graduated college last year, so I get to keep my airplane.
Obviously, she's in pharmacy school now.
We talk about the aircraft and the name on the side, and also next aircraft up, we've got your brother Alan's name on there. And obviously, those of you that follow the air show crowd and the performers, there's a little bit of history on that. Would you care to talk about that?
Yeah, well, of course, Alan and Steve started this team 27 years ago, and he flew lead for 24 years. And, of course, his goal was, he'd always been talking for years, he wanted to fly 25 years. And, unfortunately, due to an accident 3 years ago, which left him paralyzed, he didn't make the 25th season. But he still owns the airplane and still operates the, we're all of our airplanes are all incorporated. I mean, it's kind of part of, the sponsorship, business environment we're in today. You've got to make sure that you've got all your I's dotted and T's crossed. So, but he still owns the airplane. He's still a partner in our team corporation. And Brian Reagan, who he's contracted with to fly the airplane. So Alan's still a team member. He's just, unfortunately, he's not the one actually flying the airplane.
Thank you. And we, of course, wish Alan the best in his recovery, and hope that he continues to be part
kind of
it.
A funny story about Brian. He's he has got a lot of experience. He flew, I don't know how many of you know Brian, but those that don't, he flew 16 years with Red Baron, and he had flown every position that they had. I mean, he started off flying the first few years doing the rides, and then he got on the air show team, and he flew left wing, he flew right wing, he flew slot. Well, then the last, I think, 3 years, they actually had two teams, and they made him the lead of one of the teams, and then they had a lead on the other. So he basically flew, did everything there was to do in a four-ship formation team in Stearman's. Well, when my brother got hurt and we started looking for somebody that could fill the seat, obviously we consider a lot of people. Well, the name, Brian came, his name came up that, he was available. So we had talked to him a little bit, and we knew that he was a very capable pilot. And so he came to Birmingham to kind of interview and to kind of try out with us. And it was funny, Alan was still in the hospital at the time. And so he came, and I picked him up at the airport, and we went down to the hospital. And, obviously he wanted to talk with Alan because he's going to go work for him. And Alan's wife, Jennifer, was in the room. And so I happened to go around on the far side of the bed, so I was looking toward the door, and Brian walked up the bed and had his back to the door, and Jennifer's kind of in and out, but she's overhearing a lot of the conversation. Well, finally comes to the question, I think Jennifer said something, said, "By the way, how much T6 time do you have?" And he just turns around, looks over his shoulder, he said, "I have about an hour," and turned around and looked back at Alan, Alan, he wasn't fazed because he'd known him for years. And all of a sudden, she's looking at me, and she's mouthing, "He's only got 1 hour. What are we doing?" needless to say, he led the team 10 days later at the first air show. So it just shows you what kind of talent that, that Brian has. We got out, and it was kind of funny. We got in the airplane, and I got in the back, and he got in the front, and we did a few landings and stuff. Because, like I said, he only flown the airplane one time. It was actually about 10 years before, and he flew it 1 hour. So we went out and shot some landings and stuff, and then we went up and did some accelerated stalls. And I said, well, now you want to go through and, you know, do some aerobatics? He said, I got the aerobatic part. He said, this damn getting it up and getting it down, that's the hard part. So we went back and shot landings for the rest of the afternoon. But T-6 is one of those airplanes you can't ever let your guard down. If you do, it tends to want to run toward the ditch. So those of you that have flown it certainly know, even after you've got, you know, several thousand hours, it's trying to wreck you just as bad then as it is when you first start. It's just, yeah. And you can't ever let your guard down.
We put the pressure on him really hard. We didn't really realize it because we've all been doing this, and we were kind of expecting, you know, we knew he was a good pilot and everything, but we were expecting him just... Sometimes you have to stop and realize that somebody isn't quite to the same level, but he was learning fast. Well, it was another funny story. We went down to practice at Mark's and Allen's farm. It was a grass strip. There's no lights on the runway. Well, we've all flown at night, and we didn't care if there's any lights or not and grass. We just know where everything's at. We get through flying the whole routine, practicing the night show, and it ended up I'm the last one to land. It's really starting to get pretty dark now. And I'm coming in, I'm watching Brian, I'm looking at Brian, I'm like, dang, when is he going to line up with the runway? And I'm watching him, he's watching him. There's a tree line runs right next to Mark's strip. Finally, it dawned on me, he was on the wrong side. I said, Brian, you need me on the left side, not the right side of that tree. Wow, there you go. I don't know what would happen. I wouldn't have said anything, but I guess he'd have figured it out. But
the crazy thing is, you know, from the daytime, you notice the strip's actually about 20 degrees off the tree line, and he sees the line, he's lined up with it, but actually the runway's was over here, so he wasn't anywhere close. He could see me on the end, but he wasn't lined up with it. So what I did, I back taxied, then I just turned around and had the land lights down the runway with my tail toward the beginning of the strip, and he actually landed over the top of my head. And yeah. So he got down, but he's like, you know what? He said, this place is dark. There's Gene.